In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say prayers in the litanies over and over again, and they're incredibly profound, incredibly beautiful, theologically dense prayers, and perhaps we pass over them. I know that I do because of my sins. I might say them and say them more fast than I should, or mumble them perhaps sometimes. We should give attention to the prayers that we hear all of the time. There's a reason why we hear them all the time, because they're very, very important. Now, Vespers is the beginning of the day, but it's also the end of the day, isn't it, right? Biologically, it's the end of the day, because our biological clocks are that when the sun goes down, we are more tired and we sleep. It's always been that way. And yet, Vespers is the beginning of the day liturgically. The day begins, as in the Jewish day beginning, with sunset. So, what are we to make of this? You're kind of in between right now. You're thinking of life and you're thinking of death. So you're living in this life. You should always be aware that there's an end to this life, and then there is a next. So we also always must be thinking of eternal things. If you were to generalize, overgeneralize, but not be too far off, you could say that all sin happens because we are not thinking of eternal things. We're thinking of more the here and now, whatever makes us happy at this moment or whatever irritates us at this moment, and we're not thinking of eternal life. We're not thinking of the repercussions of what we do because it's just happening in that moment. If a person can think spiritually that of how their reactions and actions affect themselves and others in the hereafter, it would save us from a lot of sin. Now, Vespers, especially the last litany, it's also in Matins, but especially in Vespers, this last litany kind of encapsulates thinking about how to live your life. Very simple petitions. I'll go through them very quickly, and we should try to have them resonate in us. Perhaps one of them will resonate in you tonight when we say it in Matins, because we'll repeat it, as I said. Perhaps two, perhaps three, perhaps a different one next week. If we were holy, then all of them would always resonate with us. But unfortunately, we're not holy, and we lose our attention for long periods of time and don't even hear what's being said, really. It begins with, "Let us complete our evening prayer unto the Lord." And I always wonder, what does it mean to complete our prayer? Huh? What does it mean to do that? In this life, we really can't complete our prayer. We can talk about completing our prayer in a temporary sense. The completion of prayer will happen. Prayer, if you think of prayer as supplication to God, praise and supplication to God, asking for things, asking for mercy, asking for help, that prayer will cease. There will be a completion of that prayer. It's going to go away because there will be no need for asking for the help of God when he's right in our midst. So truly, when we're asking to complete our prayer, it's one thing on this earth, and it's another thing in the next earth. So we're trying to be as comprehensive as possible, but it's impossible in this life. So I love, it's kind of a delicious request, because it's really, we're asking for the impossible in this world. So we're really thinking of the next world. It's what we're asking for. So I guess we could put it, if we wanted to be grammatically, you know, kind of picky, we could say, "O Lord, help us to complete our prayers until the end." But that's not very poetic, is it? So instead we say, "Let us complete our prayer unto the Lord." Then we say, "Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace." If only we realize that in everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, everything we are, we need the help and the mercy of God, for the Lord to keep us by his grace. Now, when we're asking for mercy, we're not saying, "Lord, do not punish me." That's a Western convention. And it's unfortunately permeated the air we breathe, this idea of asking mercy of God, that God would judge sinners, and somehow we have to ask him not to judge us. We're asking for mercy in the same way that a child would ask help of his father or mother. The mercy of God is freely given because God is freely merciful, because God is love. So his mercy is sharing of himself with us, his uncreated light, his energy with us, undeserving ones to be sure, But we beg of him help because we need help in everything. Whatever you do, if you don't do it with asking God's help and blessing, it will not prosper. It might appear to prosper, but it won't be as it should be. So in everything in life, we should be saying, help us, save us, have mercy in us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace. Then we ask that the holy evening may be perfect, holy, peaceful, and sinless. That's another impossible prayer. Why are we asking for the impossible? We're saying, help us to be holy and peaceful and sinless for the whole evening. Is that going to happen for any one of us? I don't think so. All of us are going to fall into sin. Maybe immediately after this prayer, we won't hear the next petition, or we'll be jealous, or we'll have a lustful thought, or we'll just have an aimless thought, or whatever it is. It's impossible for us to be sinless, and yet we're asking for it. Why? Just like we ask to complete our prayer, because we're asking for the process of that to happen in our life. So yes, we're asking for it in an impossible way. What we're asking for can't happen tonight, but it will be happening tonight. The process of becoming perfect and having a peaceful and sinless life is happening tonight in our life. So I find the prayer to be very beautiful. I love the prayers that are about things that really are not really happening now, but they'll happen later, but they're partially happening now. So this is beautiful to me. Then we ask for our guardian angel, an angel of peace, a faithful guide, a guardian of our souls and of our bodies. Let us ask of the Lord. I thank those holy ones that really had an intimate relationship with their guardian angel were greatly helped. We know our guardian angel is here. Have we seen our guardian angel? We're probably not holy enough to see our guardian angel. Those who are very holy would see their guardian angel, would be guided by their guardian angel. Our guardian angel is around us. Perhaps sometimes our guardian angel is weeping because of our sins, but we don't see our guardian angel. And yet we are asking the Lord through our guardian angel to protect us, to help us in every single way, to be a guardian of us. And then we ask for pardon and remission of our sins and offenses, because we're full of sins and offenses. I've told many of you many times, when I became Orthodox, what was just the greatest, most beautiful revelation to me was I could say I was a sinner. I didn't have to be something or pretend to be something I was not. I didn't have to say, well, I'm saved. It's all over. It's good now. I'll go to the student union, get some more people saved, or go to the beach and preach at some people and get them saved, and then they'll wonder what being saved is too, because they won't be changing that much. I've learned that the process of salvation isn't exactly that, a process, and that I'm a sinner. And it's not only okay, it's mandatory to say that I'm a sinner and to say that I have sins and to be humble about my sins as best I am able to in my prideful state. It's just so powerful to be able to just admit it over and over. And our prayers admit it over and over. Now, I once knew someone that came to the church and they left. I think they stayed for the service, but then I asked them about it. And they said, oh, your prayers are just too gloomy. They're not very positive. I don't like non-positive things in my life. Okay. I love this because it's completely positive. Because I'm actually describing myself as I am. And not pretending to be something I am not. I don't want to pretend to be something I'm not and then not become that thing. I want to say I'm not something and then become what I said I'm not. And that's what Orthodox Christianity is. Just admitting openly, I am what I am. Sort of like Popeye, huh? We're just what we are, but we're going to change. We're not satisfied with what we are and who we are, but we are not frozen by that either and saying, well, you know, I'm only human. You know what I think about that? You get a big dirty look from me if you tell me you're only human. We're not human yet. That's our problem, is we're not human enough yet. We're becoming human. So we're asking for pardon and remission of our sins. And if we thought about our sins more, we wouldn't think about other people's sins so much either. Then we ask things good and profitable for our souls and peace for the world, and that we could complete the remaining time of our life in peace and repentance, and a Christian ending to our life, painless, blameless, peaceful, and a good defense before the dread judgment seat of Christ. All these things are kind of tied together. All four of them, really, are about our sins and that there will be a judgment and that we should live, that there is going to be a judgment and not just live a lackadaisical life an indifferent life, maybe even a religious life, but not one that is focused on getting better and being something other than we are, changing into something other than we are, changing into something that is perfect, that is peaceful, that is sinless, that is without passion. That's what we're changing into. Maybe we don't look like it too much, but that's what's happening to us. So do you see how in these petitions, at the end of the Vespers especially, we're really kind of bringing to mind our whole life and the end of our life. And we should live in the middle of our life like we're at the end. We should be thinking of the end of our life and thinking of what will we say to God about our sins. Not in a morose way, not in some sort of mentally ill, neurotic way, because God is love. But we should have compunction about our sins. And these petitions, I think, are beautifully compunctionate. They are balanced. If you keep listening to them, you'll see how beautifully balanced they are and how unbalanced other forms of spirituality are. They either emphasize the judgment of God or too much about that, well, God forgives everything. Anything you do, you can do it because God loves you. Well, that's just stupid. We know that's not true. We know this is true, what we read in the books that we pray from. That's true. So try to, when you can, if you can, just be a little bit more attentive to the things we say every day. They're profound and beautiful. Just pay a little more attention, and maybe one of them is really going to hit you in a couple minutes or an hour from now. May God bless you and help you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website, and the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons, and on YouTube they are found at Orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.